As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Wow.
It shouldn't take this long.
Welcome to the Weekend Recap with Dave DeFore and Keith Parrish. Every Monday on the Athletic NBA Show.
It did the same thing to me that it's intended to do to the world.
Ding, ding!
I have access to information that the public doesn't.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding Weekend Update Edition on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Keith Parrish. Coming up, the Bucks just don't stop. The Suns had a pretty up and down weekend, and a couple teams went 2-0, including the Utah Jazz, Keith. I don't know how that happened. Before we start, don't forget you can get this podcast without ads by subscribing at theathletic.com/NBA show. First up, the Bucks 2-0 on the weekend, moved to 9-0 on the season thanks to Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had 26 points, 13 rebounds, and 11 assists in Friday's win over the Wolves. Then he took Saturday night off, Keith, and Brooke Lopez scored 25 to lead the Bucks to a 9-0 record, the best start in franchise history. They're pretty good.
Yeah, I think us doing our third weekend update of the season, we're 3 weeks in, they haven't lost yet. That's pretty solid. Brooke Lopez, do we have a comeback player of the year in the NBA? Because he's just reborn and better than ever, and he's scoring the basketball a lot. He's blocking every shot. This team's unbeatable. And then you have a perfect coaching move on Saturday's game. They put in Marjon Beauchamp to start. They switch up the starting lineup. They move Grayson Allen to the bench. Everything works. Okay, Beauchamp has a terrible game statistically. All of a sudden, Grayson Allen gets 19 points on 8 shots coming off the bench. But that's just that perfect synergy. When everything's clicking right, you're like, you know what? Let's move some pieces around. Unlock Grayson Allen. This team, clearly, I think, the best in the NBA. And it's one of those where, why don't we talk about them more? It seems like we should. I mean, they won a title 2 years ago. Giannis is a proven MVP, and then it's all of our preseason hype, and then even in the season, we get carried away with other storylines. Meanwhile, the Bucks, when are they going to lose, Dave? I mean, everyone plays on Monday. Are they going to give us a loss on Monday night?
Yeah, just because we're talking them up the whole weekend. They've been the hot topic, and I think Mo said on Nerner the other day, and I think this is accurate, they're the new Spurs. They're the new standard. Maybe Giannis is the new Tim Duncan, and they're just going to do this 55 to 67 wins every single season until, 20, 35. How long could they do this? I think that the big thing there, though, is that as good as they've been, they don't even have Chris Middleton back yet.
Right.
And so what we're looking at, I feel like this team is locked in, man. This is the team that I'm looking at to come out of the East. They have no mess. There are no problems. They have incredible continuity. The chemistry's there. The defense is nuts. They have two guys who might be Defensive Player of the Year candidates. That's a special team. And so they are maybe a little bit boring because they're so good. Not boring. The Minnesota Timberwolves, who got beat on Friday, they just don't look like a cohesive unit. They're kind of a mess.
Well, the the Timberwolves, I don't think they lose anything when Gobert doesn't play. I don't know. We don't have a large sample size yet. He's entered health and safety protocols once again. He was questionable with illness on Friday night. Played, then goes into health and safety protocols. Not the greatest look, but they seem like listless, maybe. Their offense is not good when Karl Anthony Towns and Gobert play together. And, you know, like when one guy's on the court, you have to choose. Would you like offense and no defense? Well, Kat's available. Do you want defense and no offense? Gobert's available. Do you want just to be kind of middling and bad? Play them together. And it's like, man, you traded so much stuff for this guy. And then I'm seeing like the Hawks and DeJounte Murray. And I'm like, man, what if DeJounte Murray was on the Timberwolves and not another big guy? You see Anthony Edwards get a dunk. He finally got his first dunk of the season. The game Gobert doesn't play. And then speaking of these trades, like, you know, going back to Milwaukee, the trade for Drew Holiday, perfection. They're only giving these late 20s picks to the Pelicans. I mean, imagine if the Pelicans had Drew Holiday. And we're gonna get to it in a second. There was another pretty good trade recently. The Cleveland Cavaliers traded a bunch of picks. All those picks are going to be 28th, 29th, or 30th. Like, this team, the Cavaliers are awesome. And, these teams trading, good job, Hawks, good job, Cavaliers, good job, years ago, Bucks. Not a great job, Timberwolves. I'm not excited about the price you paid for an extra center. The guy went eight quarters without scoring a bucket. I know he's good at defense, but eight quarters with no points? I mean, well, excuse me, with no baskets? I don't know if that's really given up. It's worth giving up all this stuff.
The Blazers and Suns played, you know, one of these old-fashioned back-to-backs in one town, Keith, over the weekend. And Jeremy Grant hit a game winner Friday night. He scored 30 points in that game. Blazers win 108-106. And then Saturday night, the Suns beat them by 20. They were like, no, we're not playing around. Of course, Anthony Simons sat out Saturday night. So no Dame, no Anthony Simons, and the Suns just dusted the Blazers. The Suns also got DeAndre Ayton back in Friday night's game, but they lost Cam Johnson to a meniscus injury. He has since had surgery. The timetable for his return is uncertain. I want to start with Cam Johnson because he's been great to start the year. The Suns are the best team in the West right now, not counting Utah. And he has, in particular, been great stepping into that Jay Crowder role, getting more minutes. His defense has been good. He's been hitting his shots, doing more stuff off the dribble. This is a massive loss because he was Jay Crowder insurance. They don't have Jay Crowder. Who's Cam Johnson insurance?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, the Jay Crowder aspect of this is very intriguing, and maybe I don't know if we're going to find out more about this. Like, Jay Crowder basically got upset because everyone else got an extension on his team, and he found out he was going to lose his role to a younger guy. That guy's now hurt. There's now an empty role here. He's still on the team. I don't know. Are all the bridges burned? Are the lines of communication down? But Cam Johnson, yeah, the injury, it's devastating. I mean, first of all, Cam Johnson, I got to say, one of my favorite players. I think he is my Danny Green. Like, you have Danny Green.
Oh,
I
he's
love
the
Cam
new
Johnson.
Danny Green. He's
I'm
the
obsessed
new
with
Danny
Cam
Green.
Johnson. Like, I talk about him all the time on Fast Break Breakfast. This is my guy. And so him going down, very devastating. Like, I was randomly looking at all these, like, two-man lineup data things, and of all the two-man player combinations that have played 150 minutes so far this season, Cam Johnson's a part of the top three in net rating. Like, I mean, obviously the Suns are good, and he's just this perfect piece. Like, him and Mikal Bridges, like, they're the ideal complements to the modern NBA game. They're lanky, they're long, they're good defenders, and they just drill three-pointers. And, like, Cam's been adding more and more to his game. And, like, for the Suns to lose him, that is a massive blow. I don't know exactly how they're able to replicate his minutes.
Yeah, I think the confidence that he's been showing to start the year has just been key to the whole thing. Well, let's get back to the game winner from Jeremy Grant on Friday, because it was controversial, Keith. You know, the NBA, they've stepped up the travel calls, they stepped up the carries and all the other minuscule little violations that the offensive players were using to gain an advantage over just well-meaning, hardworking defensive players in the NBA, Keith. And they missed a travel on a game winner. And this looked like Scooby-Doo.
This was, I think this is the nadir of the league's last two-minute report. I mean, we've had multiple game winners in the last few days. Tyler Hero, game winner. In real time, definitely looked like a travel. Was, in fact, a travel. The Jeremy Grant, in real time, definitely looked like a travel. Was a travel. That Suns Blazers game with the Jeremy Grant game winner had a missed. They called a travel that was not a travel on the Suns. And then the buzzer beater was, in fact, a travel. I mean, we've talked about this before, Dave. You and I have virtually gotten to the point in our lives where we're ready to just throw the replay away. Just play sports. Just play sports. I don't want to have to go to the monitor to find out if I'm happy. Like, just we'll respond to it. If we miss the call, we miss the call. I mean, the previous nadir, I think there was a playoff game. I believe it was the Thunder. I can't remember who else. There was this mad scramble at the end of the game, and the last 2-minute report was like 8 calls were missed. Someone stuck the ball out over the sideline, and then someone hit it, and then it was a thing where no one actually knew what the rules were. Like, none of the fans knew what the rules were. Anyway, I thought it was a work of art. I thought it was beautiful. I was like, that's basketball. It was basketball. It was a scramble. We were all lost. It was exciting. One team won. And then you have a report come out, and it's like, you know what? These 6 things could have been called. Just like the Trailblazers Suns game, you're like, oh, there's a defensive 3 seconds. No one wants more defensive 3 seconds calls in the final minute of a basketball game. No one cares. And the officials, certainly, what good is this? Do we feel more confident about, like, gambling? What's it for? Is it for gambling reasons? Like, why are we spelling out these errors? If you're not going to fix it, if it's the last play of the game and it's a buzzer beater and we don't fix it, like, I'm not saying we should fix it. I'm saying throw it all in the trash can. I don't care anymore.
That's right. Allow human error to persist. When I was growing up, we would argue about missed calls, you know, for days. Let us get back to that. I don't need, look, perfect is the enemy of good. Let me live in the moment and let's just move on. Make that last 2-minute report internal only. Use it to make the referees better. Send it to the teams. Let the teams, you know, bicker amongst themselves and with the referees. But just, you're giving us too much.
Well, then
I don't
want to.
Teams
are just going to give it to Shams. And we're going to. Shams Charania, athletic exclusive. Jeremy Grant traveled on the final play of the game.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more. Stop me if you've heard this before. A tanking team, Keith, is starting the season off well. Now, usually this doesn't happen, but the Utah Jazz, we assumed they were tanking. They are now 8-3 after they snagged a couple of wins in Los Angeles over the weekend. And, you know, we should have probably seen this coming, Keith, because if you look at their roster, all their guys are NBA players. They're all decent players. And then when you look at the Lakers, and then you look at the way the Clippers have started the season, how some of their key guys have looked, and Kawhi's not been there, we probably should have seen this weekend coming.
I got a front row view of the Jazz manhandling my Grizzlies in consecutive games. And yeah, Ja didn't play one of the games. Yeah, Desmond Bane didn't play one of the games. But in both of the games, it was like this Jazz team, 1 through 8, they're solid, and they're giving DNPs to guys who would play on other teams. And like the win over the Clippers on Sunday, like Jared Vanderbilt's not available. They just have more and more bodies to step up against the Grizzlies. There were lineups where I'm like, the Jazz, like the Grizzlies have Ja Morant. I think the Jazz have the next 5 best players on the court right now. And it's one of those things where like they're just deep and they have a lot of solid guys. And like this Clippers team, they're bad. I think they're just bad. I don't know why. I thought this Clippers team was going to be like we now describe this Jazz team. We thought it was just deep. We're like, hey, even if Kawhi Leonard has to miss a bunch of games, they got Batum and Covington. I know Covington's been out, but like they have all these guys. They have Norm Powell and like Reggie Jackson and John Wall, and those guys have been bad. And this Clippers team can't score. What is it with LA teams? LA teams just can't play offense anymore.
The Clippers just run no offense, and it makes the defense's job much easier. And when their grifting is not working, when they're not getting to the free throw line, and in this game Sunday, Paul George gets to the line eight times. He was 5 of 14 from three. It was a lot of tired Paul George, dead legs. I'm not even going to try to penetrate unless I'm looking to draw the foul, get to the free throw line. I'm jacking up threes. And when they weren't falling, the Jazz just ran away with it because they kept running their offense. And the Jazz offense, I don't know if you ever watch it, man, it's death by a thousand paper cuts. Guys just keep moving.
No, I saw them. They hit 43 pointers against my Grizzlies, Dave. I saw it up close. It was terrible. It was horrible. They never stopped moving the ball and shooting good threes. And they kept generating great looks constantly. And then it's like you look at the Clippers and maybe they had the best player in the game because Paul George was awesome. And the Jazz actually have no one who can guard Paul George. But it didn't matter because the rest of their depth was just generating better offense, and it just keeps coming. It keeps coming. And they're a fun team to watch too, which is wild. Like they're enjoyable to watch. They play well. And the question is like, how long do they keep, are they going to put their thumb on the weight of the scale and change the results? Because like right now, this is one of the better teams in the Western Conference. Not just on a record. I'm saying like how they're playing. They are literally better than the teams that are trailing them in the race. Like you saw the Spurs. Like the Spurs similarly were playing really, really well the first couple of weeks. They started – some guys missed some games, and they started losing badly. And it's one of those things like, oh, we thought that was going to happen. Still maybe people think it's going to happen with the Jazz. I hope not because they're solid. And I feel like their fans and as a league, as basketball fans, we deserve to see this team continue playing as well as they have been. I want to see how far Lauri Markkanen can carry a team.
And I'll be the Mo DeKeel of this show, and I'll say, give the coach a chance to coach a basketball team. He's doing a wonderful job so far. I've been really impressed with everything they're doing on both ends. And that Walker Kessler guy is going to be a monster defender. He's going to play forever, and he's going to block four shots a game some season.
If Walker Kessler was drafted in 1981, he would have a 22-year career.
That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Thank you guys for listening. For Keith, I'm Dave. Keith, let's get out of here.
Ding, ding.